B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
McAvoy, in disgust, will rifle at the length of the ice. And that'll close out game four. The Tampa Bay Lightning have reeled off three consecutive wins in this series, and the Boston Bruins have now been pushed to the brink of elimination.
And the Celtics start to finish. Not just a win in game one, a dominant win. The final score, Boston 112, Toronto 94.
Oh, hey, how we doing?
Hey.
What's up?
Who the hell's that?
Hardy's back.
Look at you. Well rested from the weekend.
Everybody good?
Everybody's good.
Celtics are good.
What did I tell you last week?
What did you tell me last week?
I told you they're going to finals, and it went right over everybody's head.
Oh, that's right. We did have a pause. We wanted to know if we needed to mark the tape.
The game wasn't even close yesterday.
It wasn't.
It doesn't even feel like the Celtics have kicked it into
one
full
game.
Gear. It's better without Gordon Hayward.
There are things that happen, though, in that game that should make you feel good. One, it's another, just generally speaking, in very broad terms, it's another beatdown of the Raptors in the bubble, which should have you feeling good just based on their good team.
And wait a minute, because the Raptors are what? They've been 11-1 since they've been in the bubble.
They're a good team.
Good coach?
Well, it's all we hear, how well coached they are.
Well, because you lose Kawhi and then bang.
Right, how the pieces fit together so well there.
I don't know a lot of their players.
And they've just got superior coaching, which I laughed at B-Rob for when he was in here. Remember that a few weeks back?
Yeah, because that always matters in this league, right?
Stop it, B-Rob. Stop. Stop talking to me about the coaching. But I think you saw some coaching from the Celtics side, and I think there is a term that maybe corporate Jim Louth, coined this morning. What did you call it? There are micro role players on this team?
Yeah, micro role
players.
I
love this theory. The Celtics don't have a great bench.
Duh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Not that a great bench is what you need to win in this league, please. You need stars. You need talent in your starting lineup. You don't need a bench to win, but a bench is nice. It's a nice luxury to have.
A bench.
Right?
Yep.
The Celtics don't have a bench. What they have and what we are, this is a real green teamer type of thing here. But I think the green teamer is going to be all about it. It's the micro role players.
This is Jim's fault.
That it is very much Brad Stevens really exploiting matchups as much as he can. Now, I think the example Jim was using in our off-air discussion this morning was Cantor and Robert Williams and which minutes they were getting in which games.
Right.
Yesterday, you see the reserve minutes going in the opposite direction, which is a sign of, exploiting matchups and being very conscious of individual matchups of Celtics players, micro role players, super specialized roles.
This is what happens
for the guys at the bottom of the roster.
This is happens. This is because Jim's a coach. You stick Jim in a room with 10-year-old girls from Warwick, and he'll find out what they do well. That doesn't sound right.
I didn't mean it. You know what I'm talking about.
Jim, this is like... Okay, this girl bats.
Try again.
Never mind.
Try one more time.
Never mind.
No, do it again.
Because I've helped out with my kids' teams, whether it was football, baseball over the years. And you could tell which ones are your really, really good players. So you're going to play short. You're going to play first. You're going to be our starting pitcher once the playoffs start. We're going to try and stretch this kid for two innings. This kid's probably better off as a closer. This kid's got a gun. We're going to put her out in center field. Like Jim can understand, what certain guys do well and what they don't do well. And I think... Brad being here as long as he has been here. And, he and Danny are so right there on that same plane as to the type of players that they want here, the type of players they want to coach here. You watch Robert Williams run the floor. Like, okay, you can use that guy in certain spots, man, to where you could just put teams away with your athleticism. Like, even Tice got a call early in that game. Like, okay, little things here are starting to add up. And I like Smart as a starter. I don't know. I just think right away you got energy in your starting five. Not that you don't. You know what I'm saying?
How do you react every time Smart jacks a three?
at the first one of the game. I was crap my pants.
He had nine attempts. He was 5 of 9 yesterday from three. Like, and every time I'm like, eh.
Well, that's what teams are going to do. They're going to leave him open, right? We're going to defend Tatum, and we're going to defend Brown.
So, listen, I look at yesterday, and I say it's about Kemba Walker. It's about him being a selfless player. This is going to be the difference for the Celtics this year in this series versus what they had last year in Kyrie.
Yeah.
When the Celtics face adversity in this run, which they will face, they are not going to have a guy just take 35 shots because he feels like it in Kemba Walker. That is not going to happen to this team because it's easy to get excited about one game, but we do remember last year. We do remember the series against Milwaukee when the Celtics had a big win in game one. It didn't last. They quickly then exited the play. Remember, what did Paul Pierce say after that game one victory? Do you remember that, Jim? Paul Pierce, I think, said it was going to be a sweep. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Game one last.
I don't remember, but probably.
I'm pretty sure it was Paul Pierce going, oh, that's it. It's over. It's a sweep. Let's not do that again this year, Celtics fans. You know, this is still a good team they're playing. But this has all the makings of an exciting series. It does.
I don't feel that way.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you think, what, Toronto's going to lay down and die?
I think we overhype Philly. And maybe we give Philly too much damn respect for the type of talent that they've assembled. You always think it's going to come together. And there's a little chippiness to it. It's a team you don't like. So that series sort of sucked me in more. As gassed as Philly was at the end of those games, I just thought they were out of shape. And they just had nothing other than Embiid. You know, without Kawhi, I think that, you know, if they had Kawhi, I think this would be a much more, I don't know, tighter series. I think they're better than Toronto. It stood out yesterday.
Well, there's a couple of things here. Number one, Kyle Lowry played. And you can look at that one of two ways. You can look at it in the way that Kyle Lowry played and the Celtics still dominated. So, good. That really shows something. There's no excuse for the Raptors in this game to get beaten the way they did by the Celtics, right? You had your full complement of players. The other part is maybe that was Kyle Lowry getting back and getting up and going, and he's going to be better in game two, and the Raptors will be better in game two. If they've got great coaching, they will make adjustments as well for the micro role players on the Celtics. That's what we're calling them.
Well, yeah, Nick Nurse is going to be looking, how can I exploit Robert Williams?
Correct. Mm. And he is exploitable, which is why at times his minutes have dipped this year. So I don't expect the Raptors to go away quietly. No. I will say this, though. There is a variable with everything right now, and now there's a variable with the Raptors. And that is, you've heard comments from them. First of all, there are questions about, would game one be played? Was there going to be a protest? Now we know everything shut down for a few days and is back up and running. But you've heard from Raptors players now, Lowry included, Serge Ibaka, saying, we nearly left the bubble. We were ready to pack up and go. Which makes you question where they are mentally right now. And did that play a role in this game? Is that going to continue to play a role for them? Are their minds elsewhere?
Yeah, and maybe it goes back to last week, too, where Jaylen Brown was one of the more outspoken ones and said, what good does that do us if you don't do anything, if you want to leave? Like, yeah, okay, that's great if you want to pack up and leave and say, screw it. What are you going to do when you leave here? You going to sit on your couch? If not, like, I think the Celtics were like, all of them, we're going to play. We're going to play and we're going to use it as our platform. We're going to continue to push. That's what we're here for. We're here to do our jobs. You know, we could still do other things and use that. But, you know, Brown's one of the good young voices in that league, and maybe that's a sign that his team's more mentally in it than others. You know, I mean, look at the Lakers, too. Lakers up and down at times. Maybe their head's not always in it. I mean, they got talent, but damn, they get pushed. They get pushed to the limit. I haven't seen the Celtics get pushed yet. Like, it seems like they're toying with them. Like, well, even though Philly got close in that series at certain times, when it got down to four, you looked like there's guys with their hands on their knees, just bent over, hands in their face on the bench. Like, Philly was spent. Celtics are just toying with teams right now.
I'll tell you what today is, though. You say toying with teams, it's a big day for the Marcus Smart crowd. Holy crap, he had a great game.
Finally.
Great game.
Yeah,
I mean, both ends of the floor. Guy was phenomenal yesterday, as was Jason Tatum, who's just continuing to be Jason Tatum. So that's a little bit of Celtics here to start today. I wanted to start there because I wanted to start on a positive note.
Because the other team didn't do too well.
Because
Saturday.
The Celtics were a great watch, and they're just really playing well right now, and they're a fun team.
Is Hockey Paul on the line yet?
Meanwhile, who's Hockey Paul?
Hockey Paul. Remember the Kasha Richie call we had?
Yeah. The Bruins, on the other hand, are a mess, and I think their season is about to come to a close. We will continue with Celtics conversation on the phone lines with you at 617-779-0985. But we're going to talk some Bruins and get to that disaster from over the weekend. We'll start that up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kucherov able to deny that, and it's flipped back into the Bruins zone. It'll wobble deep with five. McAvoy is on it here. McAvoy, in disgust, will rifle it the length of the ice, and that'll close out game four. The Tampa Bay Lightning have reeled off three consecutive wins in this series, and the Boston Bruins have now been pushed to the brink of elimination. Your final here in game four, Lightning 3 and the Bruins 1, and the Lightning now lead this series 3-1.
Appropriate song because the Bruins are dead. It's over. That was a game the other day that if you've watched the Bruins in this group for the last couple of years, you had to have thought you were going to see a very concerted effort, right? A response of some kind. That there's no way they could suck again. Whoops. Guess we'd be wrong on that.
That first goal was a nightmare. Yeah, five Bruins around the net. You had two Lightning there, and was it Paquette? It's Paquette, right? Paquette? Pacooter? Paquette.
Pacooter.
Yeah. Like, that guy's a pest now. You know, that Richie and Kasha were going to be the difference in this series, right? Or in the playoffs. Yeah. That's not holding up well. I mean, I don't understand Cassidy sticking up for Richie on that hit.
You don't?
I don't. I thought it was dirty. That was dirty as hell.
Okay.
Puck was gone. Guy was at least 5 feet from the boards.
It was a rough hit in a rough game, and I don't listen, afterward, especially the Lightning coach saying, like, you know, this is what the league doesn't want anymore. You can't do that. That's fine. That guy sold that thing to within an inch of its life.
So
that's why Cassidy said, if you're reading lips, what an effing joke.
Okay.
He gets knocked into the boards. He goes to get up.
Looks around.
There's no delayed penalty coming.
I'm going to flop goes, like a fish.
Then ooh. I am going to go into convulsions and lay here for 2 minutes.
Okay.
And then try and skate off the ice, and I'm going to look like a baby deer walking off for, out of my birthing place for the first time ever, and see if I can sell this thing for a 5 minute major. Which,
so by
the
way,
it resulted
But why are we talking about that?
Because the hit was not a good hit.
But the decision of Richie to do it when the puck's gone is ridiculous.
It's a stupid decision by Richie.
You
can all admit that, right?
If he gets away with it, it's the type of thing that sparks a team, and they're going to go out there and they're going to make him scared. But because he sold it, because Gordon sold it, then now we have to look at it, and everybody is all up in arms, online and everywhere else about him being a dirty player. It is so negligible in terms of whether it is a spark or whether it's dirty. And the reason why it gets labeled dirty and why he's somehow a villain in some people's minds today is because a player laid on the ice and sold the call.
I don't think that's being disputed. He absolutely sold it and laid down on the ice. And did that in an effort to get a penalty, which, by the way, somehow the NHL rules changed on the fly for that to turn into a penalty. There was no penalty on the ice.
No penalty. No call.
Right.
And now you can, if there is a penalty called on the ice and you go back to review, you are allowed to adjust it, but you're not allowed to go back on review and then call a penalty on review.
I couldn't believe it.
Which is what I think Cassidy is irate about. And so the officiating has not been good in this series.
Well,
that is not why
he was so injured. He injured him.
But that is not the position. The Bruins are not in this position because of the officials. No. I'm sorry. They're not. They're in this position because of themselves.
But that's the only reason why I brought it up is first thing Zoe said. How pissed he is at Richie.
Well, that's what stood out. I mean, you're struggling to get back in that game, and then all of a sudden you get the 5-minute major, and the next thing you know, they get a quick goal. No, now you've done another goal.
To me, here's
it just seemed futile at that point.
To me, here's what stood out. The only chance the Bruins had at scoring, I thought, during that game was when they put the puck on net and then crashed the net like I haven't seen them do in a long time.
Yep.
Like they were. All they could hope for was a dirty goal in the crease and just
started with
going
Clifton.
In there knocking heads like, oh, this is not, I don't begrudge them, you know, trying to score that way. I'd rather they tried to score always when you're having trouble putting goals on the board. But that's what stood out to me. I'm like, oh, these guys feel like the only way they can be in this game and score goals is to get in there and hope something trickles in. That is not an actual, you know, like highlight reel hockey goal. That's what stood out to me about that game.
You know what does stand out between these two teams is how they handled the trade deadline and how costly the trade deadline apparently was for the Bruins. Because does anyone like Nick Ritchie on this team?
Kasha and Ritchie.
How are you enjoying the Nick Ritchie experience to this point? Are you enjoying this? Does anyone like this player? Does anyone look at this guy and say, oh, this was a good move? Glad they have him. In fact, I think we're all going to be pissed if he's in the lineup tonight. I don't want to see this guy anymore.
He'll be in the lineup.
I don't want to see him. And the Bruins have, you know, maybe stubbornly, like, stuck with him.
You might need him.
Because he was a trade deadline acquisition.
This thing's tight and it gets physical and chippy. He's the type of guy you might need tonight. You know, if it's a 1-1 game and they're pushing you around, and you got nobody else fighting back. At least he's one of the guys that'll deliver blows.
Kasha, on the other hand, because we're talking about the Kasha and Richie combo. He's not terrible. He doesn't have a lot of finish. He's just a guy.
Kasha?
Yeah.
Richie.
He's had some highs and some lows here. He's just a jag.
Yeah.
Okay? But the deadline did nothing for them. In fact, you can make the case the deadline hurt them. And that they'd be better off having done nothing and keeping Danton Heinen. That could honestly be a case right now. Because the deadline did not anything for
That's
them.
That's fair.
And the deadline was a big one.
Is it fair? Danton Heinen sucked.
Yeah, but to think that, okay, get 3 more months under his belt?
What have you gotten out of these other two guys?
You got a young
kid. That you look at and say, oh, you really
it's
had
gonna
a
get
value.
Better, hopefully.
3 more months. It's been like 3 weeks since the trade deadline.
Yeah.
In hockey terms.
How many games were played after the deadline?
That's a good point.
A handful?
Many. Yeah, not many.
March 8th, right? 10th?
Paul in the car on Kasha and Richie. Paul,
hey,
how are we doing?
Welcome to the hockey show.
Hey, boys, how are you?
What do we got today, Paul?
No, I got to clear things up. I sent you guys that long email. Hopefully that explains some things.
I think Hardy
read it.
Hardy went through it.
I read the first. I read the first 7 paragraphs, and then I got real sleepy.
I know. The reason I had called in the first place because you guys wrote them off because how badly they played, right, in the seeding. Now you keep using this Kasha and Richie thing. What I said was, I was looking at Kasha and Richie to see if they could, you know, firm up the bottom six. Or actually the middle six.
We've got our answer.
That's what I was watching, and that's what they were watching. We got the answer.
Yeah, we got that answer now, Paul.
But we didn't. Richie is absolutely horrible. But the thing is, here's the deal. Last game, my opinion, the second goal was what killed it for the Bruins. I think they could have had a shot if Yarrow gets that second goal, then... Or catches that one and doesn't let it go in, then we've got a game. But that letting a chicken wing like that go in is demoralizing and deflating for the bench. And if you're trying to come back against a team like that and your goalie can't make that stop at a critical time, then it makes it that much harder to come back.
Yeah, but I don't want. I don't think you're.
It's all on Tuca.
It's a combination.
Right. And that's the difference.
Right.
You don't want to hang it on Halak. Because, look, we saw what he was like the first couple of games in. He said, okay, this guy is going to be able maybe to hold on to this thing and, you know, and ride it for a while.
Unless you put a glove side high.
Well, I'm not saying he's being exposed right now because...
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not say it?
He's being exposed as not ready for primetime goalie.
He's being exposed as a 35-year-old backup who's transitioned to a backup role.
Right.
He's great if you need him in a spot for a game.
Or a
couple of games because the guy goes down with an injury. But I don't think this is a guy you can put in there and ride to. Obviously, we're seeing this firsthand, but... This is not a guy you can all of a sudden put in and expect to be a Stanley Cup winning goalie.
How much would Rask have to be at, 95%, 100% mentally to where you would, say it's even money? Because you keep hearing this too. Well, where's the Rask people now? They're right. Are you? Because if Rask's head, if his head's not in it, I don't want him in it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But say he's 100% into it mentally and I'm good to go and I'm your goalie. And let's go beat the Rask. What would this series be? Probably be pretty dead even.
Mark is in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Monday. I got a few things. I'll blurt them out there, and then you guys can dissect it. The first thing, the Bruins need to do something about Braden Point. He is single-handedly beating this team by himself. They need to put somebody out there that can match his speed and just stay on him like Casper used to do to Gretzky every time he was on the ice, because this guy is killing you. Number two, Torrey Krug. Is he playing like a different player knowing he's not coming back? Doesn't want to get hurt because he's going to go out in the market next year. And number three is, does the NHL have a plan in place for the start of the 2021 season?
I'm not worried about the plan yet.
No, that's a good question, though, because it's something I've thought about a little bit over the last couple of days, and we could pick up the reason why. Because there's one player in particular that it's possible, in addition to Torrey Krug, could be playing his final games as a Boston Bruin.
But that also implies that Torrey Krug has been bad and that he has been unengaged and he hasn't been playing well.
That's what Mark and Medford is suggesting, yes.
Do you think that?
I don't think so.
I don't see him on cruise control.
No.
We'll pick that up on the other side. More of your calls as well. We'll do, what do we got? Unboxing at 10:50. We got some packages in here.
Jim's got like eight or nine boxes.
And we have a request. We have another request for the listeners today because we have something that Jim ordered to help display the items.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's getting very complicated.
Corporate Jim, you got the black card now. You can do anything.
That's a 10:50 today.
Did you order lunch?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, dude. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Joe Jackson.
Miss Joe Jackson. Is that the real dad? Was Joe Jackson her dad?
Yeah.
Jackson 5.
No, different Jackson.
Okay. No, Joe Jackson. This is not Joe Jackson, though.
He's singing the Joe Jackson song Steppin' Out over this.
Over.
But Joe Jackson is not one of the Jackson family Jacksons.
Oh, he's doing...
I read it at George Harrison. Like
that's Joe Jackson.
Who George Harrison steal that song off of?
He's so fine.
The Shondells or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right on that this weekend. Wow. He's crazy.
Update from Patriots. Sorry. Practice. No longer training camp.
Right.
Chiffons.
Update from Patriots practice. Cam Newton's not there today. Oh, it is an excused absence, according to Jeff Howe.
Hmm.
Dance class.
Unbelievable.
I'm saying.
You want to talk about Cam's dancing today? We'll talk about
Cam's
dancing today. I love his dancing.
I do, too.
I love his energy.
I do,
love his vibe. I love everything about this guy. I'm a bigger Cam Newton fan than I was when he got here.
Makes practice fun.
Back to the Bruins, though.
Yep.
As we were talking about. And we were talking about, you know, Mark's call, Mark and Medfordson. Well, what's the plan for the NHL coming back? Their tentative plans include training camp that would begin in November at some point.
Okay.
And games would begin in December. Mm-hmm. Sort of along the same timelines as the NBA. I think the NBA is targeting Christmas.
Yeah, I mean,
as the restart for their games.
It's actually a good question because we always had that target date of Thanksgiving to sort of understand what kind of hockey team.
Not anymore.
Have, right.
Not anymore. So they're looking for a December start as well as far as games go.
Mm-hmm.
How much older do you think Zdeno Chara got during the break?
A lot.
And this is now almost September when the season would be starting again. And you know how this goes. At some point, a player comes back for the following season. And because they have just aged another 6 months, they're just not the same anymore. And every year, there's sort of a little bit more of a decline. Are we seeing what would have been the decline for Zdeno Chara for what would have been the 2020-21 season, which we would just be getting to a point that it's about to get going? Training camps would just be getting ready to start up in a few weeks. Are we seeing that now?
Probably.
Are we seeing what next season, what would have been the next season of Zdeno Chara looks like? He doesn't have a contract. His contract is up. Are we looking at the end? Is this the end for him?
And you look at sort of the flashes that McAvoy gives you and sort of that transition. Yeah, I mean, Chara's great when you're killing a penalty. You know, because you got the length there, and that's where it's so advantageous to have him on the ice. And there's other times where you see him, whoa, he got lost behind the net that one time. Or, shoot, why wasn't he there? You know, when they're getting the puck and the rebound, you know, getting second chance shots. And you just see him standing around at times. And you're like, oh, that's what makes you scratch your head. But then, you know, I mean, I love the guy. I mean, you couldn't have had a better Bruin, a better leader, better captain. But you got to admit, he's getting old. He's getting old. He looks slower.
And the way the Bruins
change around him.
Are getting beat, I believe, by a better team. Said that you know, Tampa is the better team in this series. They're getting beat by a better team. I start thinking about next year already because I feel like this is over.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go to Chara.
I think about Chara. Okay. I think about the potential loss, and I think likely loss of Torey Krug. I think about what's going to happen at goalie. Is Tuukka Rask going to be welcome back? Do you want him back? You want him back?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
I do.
I don't.
And
I'm tired of the games.
I start thinking about the run and how this proves the way the Bruins are going out right now. It proves how hard it is to get to a Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final the way they did last year and how hard it is to get to that point, how much work goes into getting to that point, and how much of a lost opportunity that was.
See, you look at...
And how, they didn't choose to have a pandemic and have a break. But it has impacted their group, I think, more so than others because they're older. They have an older team. And maybe that's a factor that played in for them that didn't really matter for other teams.
But you're right.
I don't feel like they're the better team in this series. So it's a loss that you can look at and say, well, you got beat by a better team. That's okay.
No, but
the fact that they're not the better team, and now they're going to have losses to this group and to the core for next year. Where are we at in the Bruins? Where's their direction after this?
No, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, the Chara stuff, I think people, it's easy to accept, okay, age has caught up with him. You know, the money's not there. The contract's not there. You can almost see that as an easy retirement. I think the Tuukka stuff and the Krug stuff almost, you know, reflect off each other to where you could get a serviceable goalie and pay Torey Krug to stay. Like, I would, that's why I say, do you want Tuukka back? I'm like, I don't want him back at $7 million. I'd rather pay Krug and get another defenseman and maybe a serviceable goalie. You know, I think there's other ways you could patch that thing.
Right.
To where you could allocate $7 million of, you know, something you can't count on. Because I say, here we are. You know, it'd be really suck that this guy got exposed, meaning a lock, against a really, really good team like Tampa, to where you could have had your number one goaltender in there with his head on screwed on straight. And there's been too many times the head has not been screwed on straight. And this is a critical, critical time. Because I think their window is closing. Because Char's getting older. You don't know what you got with Rask. Torey Krug might not be here. You're talking about this core of guys where you say, okay, they can ramp it up for one more Stanley Cup run. And that window's shutting. And this may have been one hell of an opportunity in this bubble to go out there and play and get it right and secure that number one seed. Maybe the seeding could have been better. Rask going to get a lot of blame for this.
He is, but the Bruins also aren't scoring. So that's
fair.
A bit of a problem.
It's all
fair. You got to score goals to win
games. There's a million things why they're in a position.
Yeah, things have gone wrong in a lot of ways here for them. The other part is this. Okay, they're down 3-1. I think it's over. You think it's over.
I think they win tonight.
Everybody thinks it's over.
No, I think they win tonight.
Okay.
I think they get it to 3-2.
Are they going to win this game? And if they do win the game, what does it tell you about this? Because I think, granted, I said game four, if you know this group, you know this team, they've been a team that has responded when they've faced down moments and adversity. And everything you think about them, you thought you'd see that response in game four. You didn't get it. So are they like every other, I believe, bubble team, which is when you go down 3-1, you check out and go home because you're waiting to get on that plane and be done with this? Do you check out, shut it down, not mentally into it to the degree you would be otherwise? Or does this team fight? Do they fight? What are we going to fight? That, to
fight
me, though, is worth watching for. What does this group have?
And maybe that might mean as much as you get into this quick transition into 2021 season, you know, as the decisions they're going to have to make as to what type of team they're going to assemble. Yeah, they're going to be watching, see what responds.
Let me tell T-Blades this, though. If they were to come back in this series, right, and do the improbable and win the series,
the most amazing championship run ever.
I mean, would that be the most impressive comeback, guys? I know the Red Sox had that 1-0-4 against the Yankees, but, you know, this would be an impressive comeback nonetheless.
Keep moving the goalposts on Tom's original topic.
I know, but it's fun.
Well, the original topic was so bad. See, he had to be moving around a little bit. What a perfect day Saturday to watch hockey.
I'll tell you what, T-Bone, I'm ready to admit it. If the Bruins win the Cup, it'll be the most impressive championship in Boston sports history.
Well, now, yeah, in retrospect. Yeah, we can look back
now. Now I think we're willing to say that. You okay?
Sure.
We'll see what happens. Bruins, do they fight or do they quit and pack it in and go home? That's what I'm going to watch and see what happens with the Bruins. 617-779-0985. Let's open up some boxes for Jim Louth coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Comes to sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Solak Invertrend, 98.5, the sports hub.
You know what they say?
What?
Good things come in small packages.
An autographed game puck signed by number 16, Marco Sturm.
It's a good quality item.
Kane's mayonnaise.
The Jim Corsi gum.
When I want something, I get it.
Framed photo of number 35, Manny Fernandez.
Yes, sir. Top of the line.
We got a mother load here.
Like, that's the size of box you put an animal in.
Okay, time to unbox some items for Jim Louth today for the shelving in his office. 36 shelves. We've been filling them up. You okay, Zo? What happened?
I'm sorry. I pinched my freaking inside of my thumb on these stupid headsets. You know, the folds right here.
I didn't even know anything happened. Jim just got in my ear and goes, is it okay?
I'm like, screamed really loud.
I thought he got electrocuted again.
No. Nope. Pinched.
Can we play that for fun, though? The time zone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why not?
Come on. Fun. It's a good clip. No.
Sure. Yeah. I don't care.
It's funny.
I'm still alive.
It's funny. You lived. You were fine.
It's probably my two favorite clips. That one and when I threw the Yeti.
The Yeti is, it's the two best clips we've
had. Well, they turned the camera on. We weren't on TV yet. You're not supposed to have it on.
And by Yeti, meaning a Yeti tumbler, big coffee tumbler.
Yep.
Oh, I thought you meant the fabled beast of the Himalayas.
No, people just say her Yeti. They're like, what are you talking about? You threw a cooler off the wall? No. A cup. It's a Yeti cup. When you say, I got a Yeti, like, you think a cooler. Not a cup. But they also make cups.
I think cup. Here you go.
All right. Tampa Bay will be on their way if they get a win tonight and go up 3-1 over your Boston Bruins at the Garden. We're going to be talking to Billy Jaffe about that up next.
That happened.
Tampa Bay up 3-1.
Wow. No, they were about to be up 3-1. Tampa Bay will be on their way if they get a win tonight and go up 3-1 over your Boston Bruins at the Garden. We're going to be talking to Billy Jaffe about that up next.
That was bad.
That thing never that hurt. Hurt.
Get your elbow, boy. Woo. We used to do that as kids. We used to grab, I lived across the street. I lived across the street from the farm. So we used to go grab that electric fence just to see who could hang on longer.
Sure.
The kids are stupid.
Oh, you know? My. Okay. So we've got a request, by the way.
What do you mean, request?
Jim bought a bat rack for the office. Mahogany. Mahogany bat rack.
Of course he did. Black card.
For baseball bats. We've got 5 baseball bats already. So we're going to need 5 more. Does that sound appropriate? Everyone on board with that? We're going to need 5 more.
We need more bats. Okay.
If you got one laying around that's interesting in any way.
I may have one at home for him.
I have to look, but I think I may have one for him too.
Jim, would golf clubs fit in it?
Probably.
Could you hang a golf club
from
it?
Yeah, probably.
Can I just bring in a spare set of clubs to just put in your corner of your office just to jazz it up?
No, but if you had like historically significant golf clubs.
That might work.
I had a pair of old Sam Snead's. That might work. From back in the day.
All right, let's get to some of these items. This is for corporate Jim Louth, sent to for 55 Morsi Boulevard, Dorchester, Massachusetts. Yes, Joe Jackson. Now we've got Joe Jackson.
I saw a picture of Joe Jackson, by the way.
This.
No, nothing like the Jackson family.
Zoe could not, yeah.
No, he is a white.
I'm going to tell you right now.
He's a British guy.
I'll read this for you, which is long letter. Long letter. Hey, guys, the baseball card speaks for itself. More on that in a moment. Then there's this. This picture was taken by me at a Celtics game in 2003. Mm. Snuck down from the nosebleeds to snap a picture of Larry and Nomar. I was hammered and obnoxious, and they were annoyed and ignored me. Only after finding the disposable camera in my pants 2 months later did I realize Nomar's idiot date smiling like a fool. Always.
Is that Mia Hamm?
Always gave me and my friends a good chuckle. Yeah. We even named her Stephanie Saichi. P.S. Larry was pissed. Sarge sucks. Ian and Stoneham.
That's nice.
No, it is true. Nomar's date is like full-on smile.
We need somebody to get the Jimmy Stewart picture where the entire Celtic crowd is sitting, and Jay Stu is the only one under the bucket with his hands up, and he's just pitted out in a green Celtic shirt, and all you see is his armpits.
This is such a great photo. It really is
and
funny.
Have him sign it for
Nomar's
Jim's
got
office.
The head down. Larry's pissed off.
Well, Larry's always pissed off.
Yeah, he's just sort of that guy.
Yeah.
And then there's like people 2 rows back that are just looking at him like, what are you doing? The baseball card, by the way, is an excellent one. 1989 Fleer, Billy Ripken at Fenway Park, and on the let me cover that up so we don't put that on television.
Huh.
The knob of the bat has a dirty word on it.
Knob.
It's the F face card. Yes,
that's gonna go next to the Menendez brothers. Mark Jackson.
Seriously, that's great.
Yes.
Yeah, Jim's got a creepy section.
That was like the Holy Grail when you were opening cards as a kid.
Sure was. So, yes, that is...
excellent.
That's what it is.
All right.
Awesome.
So I got a nice package here from Hooksett, New Hampshire. It says, dear gentlemen, I really enjoy watching the Zolak and Bertrand program, but you seem to be missing memorabilia from golf. We do have some golf things. This is from the Open Championship in 2013 at Muirfield in Scotland, where Phil Mickelson made a late surge on a Sunday afternoon to win the championship. They were at the course following Tiger, obviously, just cheering with him, eating Scottish food. Tiger was running out of luck. Give our best to the resident golf expert, Hardy. And the rest of the gang. So Hardy and the rest of the gang.
Yeah.
This is from Kevin and Roberta Grady of Hooksett, New Hampshire. Nice package.
By the way, the Billy Ripken card. Longtime Bruins photographer Steve Babineau was the guy who took the photo at Fenway Park. He used to do photos for all the card companies.
Nice.
I once spent a solid hour getting the full story on that for them.
Is it a single golf ball zone?
It's a single golf ball.
From what?
Titleist. From the Muirfield Open.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like you've gotten a lot of golf stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know why the...
We have like 7 golf balls from one person that she sent a bunch of golf balls for us. Yeah.
Wow, it's nice.
No, but
nice
then Zoe opened a lot of golf stuff a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have there?
I have something else along with that card that you cannot show on TV, Beetle.
Yeah.
This is from Michael in Manchester, New Hampshire. The Black Crowes CD, Amorica, 1994. All right.
Okay.
Leechmere rapper. Okay. CD was recalled from major outlets due to the overflow of something at the bikini line of the photograph.
Excuse me?
You can see protuberance. Is that the word? Protrube? Protube. Protuberance.
They recalled the album?
They recalled the album because the cover was deemed too graphic.
This was like the Andrew W.K. album. Remember they used to put black stickers over it?
Hoo-ah!
With the bloodied face?
Yeah. So there's something that is deemed inappropriate to be
Andrew Dice Clay is coming to the store shelves. Comedy thing at the CBS scene. There. Did you say Andrew Dice Clay?
No. Andrew W.K.
Oh, I thought you said Andrew Dice Clay.
Andrew W.K.
Yeah, he's coming to Foxborough soon.
Andrew W.K. or Andrew Dice Clay?
Hey, Andrew Dice Clay. Hickory dickory
your
dock.
Mother.
Hickory dickory dock. Hey.
I got one here.
Jack and Jew went up the hill, and then they, you know.
Are you done, Hardy, or no?
I am done. Hey. Jim's got a package. What do you got, Jim?
Says, hey, guys, sup so, .. Even you, T-Bone.
Wow.
This is from Jess and Lynn. I wear my Supso t-shirt all the time to represent. Packaged here are cards that used to sit in front of the DVDs at Blockbuster. They were 20 for a dollar when they were going out of business. Also, Stephen Ridley autographed card, one of 50.
Wow.
So numbered to 50. You want to see the movies?
Limited edition.
Sure. What kind of movies?
Quarantine. Appropriate for this time.
Considering, yeah.
Zoe's favorite show?
What?
Office. The Office?
Yes! Give that to me.
Referenced by Beatle a lot.
The Town.
The Sopranos.
Oh, love that. What is it? It's just the card?
They're the cards that used to sit in front of the Blockbuster, in front of the DVDs. Like the placeholder.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Dennis Leary. Rescue Me.
Rescue Me.
Yeah.
A great Wahlberg movie.
Well, what is it?
Contraband.
Good one.
Classic football flick. Leatherheads? I've never seen Leatherheads.
Oh, George Clooney.
Yeah. Never saw it.
It wasn't that good.
And because Zoe will enjoy the title. Balls out.
There you go.
Love it.
You got Matt in Worcester here who sent in a number of baseball cards. Red Sox. Many Red Sox related ones. A koozie. This is actually one of those cheap, horrible, collapsible koozies.
Yeah.
But it's actually a good one. Fire Goodell.
Yeah.
With.
I got the hat. Yep.
With the clown face Goodell. From Barstool
Sports. What that night could have been.
Very nice.
What that night could have been.
This is very nice. I like the design of that, despite it being a cheap koozie.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike, you can't get a good koozie anymore.
I agree with that. I like the round foam ones. Those are great.
Those are the best ones.
I used to have those on the boat all the time.
They got to make those again.
It was great. They float.
We actually made those like the first month of the Sports Hub.
Did we?
And I still have it. Thick foam koozie with the original Sports Hub logo with the big globe.
We don't do any of those giveaways anymore.
No, we didn't. Cheaped out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.